This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Pennsylvania's high corporate net income tax, or CNI, has been a barrier to attracting new business and new jobs into the Commonwealth. But the new state budget begins the process of lowering that rate. David Taylor is here for a Capital Watch look at the benefits of this move. He is joined by Tim Vermeer, a senior state tax policy analyst with the Tax Foundation.
The Pennsylvania General Fund budget for year 22-23 is finally signed and in effect, and as ever, a mixed bag of stuff, but there was a little bit of daylight with progress with one of Pennsylvania's long-term challenges, which is the competitiveness of our business tax structure. And so to discuss that, I'm really excited to welcome our special guest, Tim Vermeer, Senior State Tax Policy Analyst at the Tax Foundation. Tim, thanks for being on the program.
Well, thanks for inviting me on.
Pennsylvania's corporate net income tax has been at 9.99% since 1995. And at various points along the way, it's been the highest or second highest, or depending on how you slice it, definitely the highest flat rate tax in America. And this has been a pretty significant impediment because, first of all, there's just the sticker shock of having the highest rate or one of the highest rates in the country, on top of other things like, you know, the regulatory climate, the legal climate, so on and so forth. And that we've done other things along the way. We've managed to phase out the capital stock and franchise tax. We managed to achieve some improvements with the tax appeals process. But making progress on this big ticket sticker shock 9.99 rate has been elusive until now. But in this year's budget, we have the beginning of a phase down plan. We're going to go from 9.99% now to 8.99% in January. And then the plan is that we'll go down 0.5% a year for the next 8 years to finally get to 4.99%. What's your overview on that planned phase down?
Yeah, David, I mean, it's been good news from Harrisburg that they're was an agreement that was able to be reached at all on the CNIT. But I've kind of been describing this as it's a good but plan. It's good that the policymakers finally have been able to reach a deal. As you said, there hasn't been a reduction to the corporate net income tax rate since 1995. And there really hasn't been any meaningful tax decreases for on the business front since the capital stock and franchise tax, which I think that legislation started moving in 2002.
Yes.
There's, like you say, 9.99%, almost 10%. That's been a big impediment for businesses, especially when you couple some of the other structural challenges in Pennsylvania's tax code. We've got Pennsylvania is one of only a handful of states that limits the ability of businesses to carry forward net operating losses.
Yeah, and that's a huge problem. And Tim, this is like one of my hobby horses. Let me just opine a little bit. So under the IRS code and tax law in like 47 or 48 states, a business is allowed to use the fullness of its recent losses against its current and near future tax liability. So it's just like for companies that don't make a profit in nice, tidy 12-month chunks, it smooths out the tax burden. Pennsylvania is one of the only places in America where that practice is not deployed. And so as a result, Pennsylvania is one of the only places where investors are going to not choose to put their money. So it means that we have a very low business startup rate, which I think is a real flashing red light on our economic dashboard.
It definitely is, David. And we are trying to put out, you're trying to put out the welcome mat in Pennsylvania and reverse this reputation that Pennsylvania's kind of worked hard to build this kind of an anti-business reputation.
Yeah.
Trying to reverse that by going and cutting the CNIT rate. And this is kind of coming back to the good but. It's good that there was a cut, but it's only down to 8.99% next year. So That's still, depending on what happens in Iowa, because Iowa's going to likely reduce their rate by about a percentage point,
mm-hmm.
you're still going to be at 5th or 6th highest in the country.
Yes.
So the risk here, I think, is that you've got highly publicized rate cut. We're doing these good things on trying to lower the CNIT rate, but then it's going to take several years still before that rate becomes competitive and starts to, you know, attract businesses back to Pennsylvania. And so I think the risk here is that policymakers might get cold feet, kind of like they did with the capital stock and franchise tax.
Yes.
Not a helpful tax for business, but it was haphazardly implemented. It was paused and restarted for years before finally being eliminated.
Yes.
And kind of held hostage to the budget process. And so what my fear is that could happen with the CNIT reduction. And they might say, well, look, you know, we haven't seen really many, you know, the returns that we're looking for. We need the revenue. And so we're going to pause it. And that is just not a helpful solution in this case.
Yes. And unfortunately, with the way that the Harrisburg operates, that's exactly what I'm expecting. We're going to have to go in every budget cycle and fight tooth and nail to hang on to that half a percent reduction that's been promised. But just because the schedule is put into the law, it doesn't mean that future governors or general assemblies are obligated to follow it. So, you know, each year we're going to have to go and fight for this. And if we do, in January of 2031, our rate will finally be as low as Indiana's is today. So it's competitiveness is a moving target, that just because Pennsylvania makes progress relative to where we have been, it doesn't mean that we're making net progress. And the other thing that I'd like to just really emphasize for the listeners is there is a world of difference between tax rates and tax collections. So by having a more competitive rate that we can earn private sector investment so the economy grows, that the economy will be bigger, and as a result, it will naturally throw off more revenue for the public treasury at the lower rate. So it's like, yes, we want greater collections for the Commonwealth for public purposes if and only if it reflects increased profitability on the same scale. Like you could double the tax rate, but you wouldn't double the collections. If anything, you'd probably reduce the collections to zero just because a 20% rate would be insane and everybody would give up and move away. And that seems to be one of the main misunderstandings in the course of these kinds of tax policy debates.
Right. And I don't want to kind of bemoan what should be kind of a positive step forward here, you know, but I think that the legislature had an opportunity to make a bold rate cut that really would have sent that signal that Pennsylvania is open for business. And then from there, we could have gone down further based on some revenue triggers. And like you say, there's going to be some expansion to the tax base by drawing in more businesses to Pennsylvania, by increasing that productivity. You know, and I think that would have been the ideal model. On the one hand, several states have kind of taken this incremental annual reduction model approach where, you know, they kind of are in a bad place initially and then they chip away slowly at it. You know, Indiana did that.
Yes.
They used to be at 8.5%. Now they're at, I think, 4.9%.
Yes.
But on the other hand, like you said earlier, the sluggish pace of CNIT reductions kind of evokes memories of the capital stock and franchise tax phase out. So you're not, I mean, that's kind of an impediment that Indiana didn't have, which is the history of this haphazard implementation in the legislature. So I would encourage policymakers and lawmakers, you know, to take the approach that North Carolina has, that Arkansas is looking at in its special session coming up in August, of these kind of, we've put a plan down, and we've set a long-term target, and now we're going to speed it up. You might be able to do something similar where if you can't come to an agreement on accelerating the CNIT rate reductions, you do something else, like you do NOL, you know, net operating loss reform.
Yes. Yes.
You do something for small businesses, because a lot of this touches on corporations.
Yes.
We've talked about net operating losses for corporations and the limitations there, and that should be addressed. But there's also, Pennsylvania is also unique in the fact that it does not extend net operating losses at the small business, at the pass-through business level.
Yes.
So I think it's Pennsylvania and Massachusetts are the only states that don't do that. And so there is a large portion of the business world in Pennsylvania that would be benefited through that, the same way that corporations would. You could also talk about, on the small business front again, you can talk about reforming the Commonwealth's treatment of income. And so I think you've got eight classes of income, right?
Yeah.
Between
yeah.
interest and dividends and wages and business income, and none of those are allowed to offset another. So if you have a gain in one area and a loss in the other, let's say your wife earns a wage and you run a business and you had a loss in that business, your loss does not offset anything that she has earned. And so you're paying the full amount on her earnings, when in most states, in a joint return, you would take the net taxable income from that and pay taxes on that. That's another area where Pennsylvania is kind of behind the curve in terms of its tax code.
Yeah, add it to the long and growing list. You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, my guest, Tim Vermeer from the Tax Foundation. And you know, Tim, talking about the helping the small businesses, the S-Corps and the partnerships and the LLCs, we did make some progress in this last budget where that the small businesses were given a tax exemption for the like-kind exchanges, that if you're selling a piece of gear to replace it with a better piece of gear, that you don't get taxed on the revenue from the sale. And same thing if you're upgrading for buildings or vehicles in your fleet, and that was just a common sense change that needed to happen. I mean, one of the things that I want to see us get to is, as was the case in Colorado, once you get the corporate rate down to like close to the personal rate or the pass-through rate, then you have entities forming based on what's operationally best for the company rather than just tax avoidance, because that C corporations, that they can issue shares, that these S corps and LLCs and partnerships can't do that, which means that it's more difficult to raise capital, which means it's a great way to keep small businesses small. So if you can get that rate on the corporate side down to something approaching the pass-through rate, then again, like I said, people can start making decisions based on what's best structurally and operationally for their enterprise, rather than just trying to minimize the tax bite.
Right. No, 100%, David. I agree. And we've seen some, again, incremental approaches in this most recent tax bill out of Harrisburg. Section 179 was reformed. That's the treatment of investment made by small businesses. It used to be that a small business was only allowed to deduct up to $25,000 of the investments that it made in the year that investment was made. And so you could put $500,000 of new equipment in your plant, but only be able to expense $25,000 of that mm-hmm. in that current tax year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really accelerates the amount of tax that you owe right off the jump.
Mm-hmm.
The federal system has a provision where you can write off $1 million. I think it's actually $1 million and some change adjusted for inflation, but this was another case where Pennsylvania did not conform to what many states did.
Yeah.
And so the $25,000 expensing limit, I think that was tied for lowest in the country.
Yeah.
Well, this law will reform that, and now it conforms with the federal standard, and that's a good thing for small businesses. It's a good thing for productivity. Productivity directly leads to wage increases.
Yep.
The more productive you are, the more those employees will earn.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a good thing.
And this is the world we want to live in. I mean, it's you know, rather than treating the business community as a, you know, as a beast of burden to be whipped, that we need policymakers to recognize that the economy is a garden that we need to cultivate, and that we've got to act like we want the investments and the jobs and the, you know, all of the prosperity that comes from that. And the more difficult that a state government, in this case Pennsylvania, the more difficult that we make it for investors and entrepreneurs to start their businesses, to to get return from capital investment, it's like they're just going to go someplace else. And again, Indiana is just on the other side of Ohio. So, I mean, it is a competitive world. It's a moving target. And that this is why, you know, we need the lawmakers and decision makers in Harrisburg to, you know, to prioritize competitiveness and growth. And this is why, you know, again, even though it's only a start, we're grateful to see this start of the long march of finally hammering down the CNI T rate to something competitive.
Right, right. And I think I really should make the point, because I think that your listeners are probably thinking, you know, well, what's in it for me? I'm hearing a lot about businesses and the benefits to corporations and, but what about me? And I think that's probably one of the most misunderstood, that's one of the greatest misconceptions about this, about the corporate income tax in general, is that that tax is borne by business owners or, you know, stockholders, and it's not. Some of it is, but there's a good deal of behavioral
yep.
alterations that
yep.
business owners and decision makers within corporations will make, and some of that translates into, you know, higher cost of finished goods.
Mm-hmm.
That's borne by the consumer.
Slower growth, it's sluggish wage growth. You know, there are all different ways that consumers and society pay for increased burdens on employers.
Right. And so by reducing some of those burdens, we should see wage increases. We should see job availability, and, you know, the ability to pay more will also draw more people out into the labor force.
Yes.
And that's been a challenge recently, too.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, Tim, we thank you for your time with us. Obviously, we thank you for the outstanding work that the Tax Foundation does on these important and complex public policy issues. For the listeners, Tim, where can they go to learn more about you and the Tax Foundation and the things that you're doing?
Well, they can read a lot more and, you know, in greater detail at taxfoundation.org. That's our website.
Uh-huh.
And you can look up the state team there, and we've got a lot of resources, both for policymakers and just for the average taxpayer.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.